Good morning. I am Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM. Today, we're happy to have Miss Maria Otero, founder and president of the Women's Ventures Fund, back with us this week. Maria, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. I appreciate coming back and telling you more about the organization.
Well, you know, every Saturday we probably get one or two more new listeners. For those one or two new listeners, can you share with us a little bit of background about the Women's Ventures Fund and what it's all about and why it's so important to our economy?
Sure. The Women's Ventures Fund is an organization that focuses on helping women understand what it takes to be successful as an entrepreneur. We work with women who are either starting businesses and need to know the basics of how to think through their business idea, how to organize their resources, how to launch, as well as working with women who are more advanced. That is to say, they have an existing business and they're looking to grow it, but they're not sure how, or they need a loan, and they'll come to us in search of funding.
You know, I've had the opportunity of sitting in with you in some sessions with some of your clients, and I have to say you have a nice way of getting them to realize what are the immediate things that they need to do versus maybe some longer-term things that they want to talk about, but you keep them very focused. How did you develop this skill in getting folks to really come down to ground zero and start with the most basic fundamental step?
Well, I think that what we typically see is that women are coming to us with a dream, and they really don't know how to convert that dream into action steps. So we have to give them enough room to be able to talk about the dream, but then know when to kind of put them on hold from expanding on the vision that they have, and helping them see what are the very next steps that they need to take so that they can make those dreams come true, become reality. And I think it's a balancing act of listening and then knowing when to kind of marshal the conversation in a particular direction so that they appreciate that they've been heard, but they also then can appreciate that you're helping them actually take realistic steps that are manageable to them.
And let's talk about your primary audience of the clients that you serve. I know it's heavy with minority women, but do you see a particular demographic in regards to the age of the women?
Well, they tend to be women who have been in the workforce for a little bit. So I would say that most of our women are probably in their 30s and older. We have a smaller percentage of women who are coming to us straight out of school or have been in the workforce for a very short period of time. And we're beginning to see more women who are coming to us after having retired, either because they retired early or just they've retired and now are thinking that they have the freedom to think about their next career and are interested in pursuing something that they're passionate about but don't know how to make it into a business.
And when they come, I know you have a lot of different training that they go through. Do you find that most folks are starting with the early curriculum, or are they stepping into the middle stage of your curriculum?
The people who have no experience are starting with us at the earlier stages. I would say in the beginning years, 90% of the women that we were seeing were really starting at ground zero. So they had to take all the very basic courses. Now that we've been around for a number of years and more women have started business, we're seeing that I would say not quite half, but almost half of the women that are coming to us are already in some form of an existing business. So they're coming to us a little bit further along, and we're working with them more around what are the problems that they're currently experiencing. Is it possible to get them funding, or what do they need to do first in order to correct a weak credit score or to better manage their cash so that they can actually understand how they need to operate in order to take on a loan?
You know, there's something very interesting that you shared with us during our interview last week when you talked about cash in hand is very different than operating capital. How difficult is it for your new clients to understand that principle and to embrace that principle?
I think that it takes a while for women, particularly women who have started businesses already and didn't really have any prior business experience. They really do feel that if they have cash in hand, that's the same thing as having a profit, and it really isn't. So it confuses them in terms of understanding how to plan for what's needed in the next step of their business development. So getting people to be really clear on what their margins are and what it takes to actually be profitable every day or every week or every month takes a little bit of practice, and it helps when women are interacting with us on a regular basis, because then we can kind of clear up what their misunderstandings are.
And what are those common misunderstandings that you find that they have?
Well, they don't know how to price their product or their service properly, and so sometimes they may spend more time with a client and the price is set, and so they think that because the price built into it a certain margin at an hour's worth of service, that when they complete the service at 3 hours that they still enjoy the same level of profit, and it doesn't really work that way.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, they have too much inventory and they don't really understand why they're not seeing more cash when they've sold, you know, X number of products already.
Very nice, very nice. And through one of your financial modules, I guess you work through understanding cash flow needs. And does the Women's Venture Fund also provide outlets to different bankers who can help them with small business loans?
Absolutely. So we have a small loan program, and if someone is ready for a loan and it's the kind of loan that we can make, we'll work with them directly. But some loans are larger than what we're willing to consider, and we might be able to work with a credit union and help them get the kind of loan that they're looking for. And in earlier periods, I wouldn't say in this economy, but before 2008, we also worked with banks and were able to get clients who were looking for more substantial loans to complete the process with the bank to successfully get a loan. So in this particular economy, we're working primarily with credit unions and other alternative lenders when someone is looking for, say, a $75,000 loan or a $100,000 loan.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Maria, it's great to have you on the program, but what type of events does the Women's Ventures Fund get involved with to promote really the great things that you're doing?
Well, we have events that are focused on providing training experience for our clients, and those happen on a regular basis, generally in our offices. But we have larger scale events where we're looking to both promote the organization and introduce the organization to other potential volunteers or financial supporters. And so we have two big events every year that are primarily fundraising events. One happens in the spring. It's a program where we recognize successful women business leaders who then share their stories about how they achieve the level of success that they have been able to achieve to date. And in particular, what we're asking them to talk about is how were they able to take the risks that they took in order to get their business to the level of success that they currently enjoy. We find that particular program, which is called our Highest Leaf Award program, really resonates with our clients as well as with women who are still developing their career path in corporate America, because it really showcases how women, whether they're entrepreneurs or they're corporate executives, have to understand their market and have to understand when it's appropriate to take a risk so that they can get to the next level. It's very similar, emotionally speaking, whether you're taking a risk as an entrepreneur or you're taking the risk as a corporate executive. So that's a very popular program that we have found has been inspirational to both our clients as well as our supporters.
And how many years has that program been going on?
I believe we've now done it 8 years, and this year will be our ninth. Mm-hmm. And then in the fall, we have a larger scale program, which is our annual gala. And at that event, we have a silent auction as well as a live auction, in addition to having a keynoter and generally one or two other highly successful women business leaders who will talk about a defining moment. The theme for that event is really to have a woman who has achieved a high level of success really discuss how she really focused on making a critical decision at some point in her career in order to help her get to the next level.
And who are some of the recent awardees that you've had on the gala program?
Well, in this particular year, we had Ramona Singer, who's on the Housewife of New York program.
I bet that was exciting.
It was, and since she was able to come and be supported by her family and friends as well as some of the cast members, it created a lot of buzz for the evening, so that was a lot of fun.
Unfortunately, there were no tables flying or bottles being thrown.
No, I don't think that's the Housewives of New York's program. That's the New Jersey.
Okay.
But we also had another successful entrepreneur, Susan Berman, who has her own communications marketing company. And she was also able to share how she was able to grow her company and take a risk in starting her current company after being a very successful corporate business person. And is now leading up a business that continues to grow.
That is wonderful. That is wonderful. And I think it's important to know that the fees that the Women's Venture Fund charge their clients for this training, it's not expensive. It's very inexpensive. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, a workshop can be, you know, anywhere from $25 to $45. A course series can be anywhere from $150 to $250. So, and that'll run for, you know, up to 14 hours. So it really is very modest, particularly in light of all of the support that you get. And once you're in our training program, there's a lot of follow-up and hand-holding that you get as part of the process. And I think that's one of the important differences between our program and other programs, is that when we work with you, we really do try to make sure that you understand how to apply the insights that we're covering in that session to your particular situation.
Right. And that's why it's so important that you've been getting support from the community for your events, the Highest Leaf Awards and the annual gala, because that's really the crux of your fundraising, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. I mean, that's where we go to the public to support what we're doing so that we can continue to offer our services at such modest rates.
Right. And I have to say that Tracy Caliendro, who is on our board, she works at Goldman Sachs, and they have just been a fantastic supporter of the Women's Ventures Fund. And how did you come about developing that relationship with Goldman Sachs, by the way?
Well, we've had board members from I don't know how many years back that have had a connection to Goldman Sachs. One of the key target groups that I looked at when we were trying to launch the organization was to make sure that we had people from the financial services sector, because we were, in fact, looking to launch an organization that would have capital to lend out. So in the course of networking with others, I continued to be introduced to other women who were involved or working in the financial services sector, and through that, we were able to connect with Goldman's annual Community Teamworks program. And Tracy was one of the volunteers early on who volunteered to work with our clients as part of this program that Goldman supports for its employees. And she got more and more involved over the years, and eventually we were able to welcome her to join the board. and she's been a phenomenal board member and very active ever since.
Very nice, very nice. And considering what the U.S. economy has gone through over the past couple of years, unfortunately, we've lost some other corporate sponsors.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, like most nonprofits in this area, we had a significant amount of our support coming from banks. And in our particular case, many of the banks that were closed as a result of what happened in 2008, such as Bear Stearns and Washington Mutual, they no longer exist. But they were significant supporters for us. And so we are now rebuilding to replace what had originally been supported by their efforts.
Wonderful, wonderful. But in moving forward, you've been able to keep the organization going, training more women, which is helping our economy to grow. If folks want to make a donation to the Women's Ventures Fund, they can go right to the website, correct?
Correct. They can go to womensventurefund.org, and there is a donate button there, and people can, you know, donate directly through PayPal, or they can send a check to the organization, and our address is at the website as well, but we're at 318 West 39th Street, New York, New York, 118.
Fantastic. And if someone, for whatever reason, maybe they don't have the necessary financial means to make a contribution, they can volunteer as well, can't they?
Absolutely. We have volunteers that assist us at the office. They can come and help answer phones or, you know, stuff mailers or things like that. Or if they have business skills, they can help us as we prepare different programs. And that's where a lot of our professional volunteers tend to assist us at.
That is great. So there's a role for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That is awesome. Can you share with us some of the success stories of some of your clients? I know there's a particular client that you have that has a delivery business.
We do have a client who has a package delivery service, a messenger service, and she's located in Brooklyn. And when she came to us, she was looking to really acquire her first vehicle. We helped her understand how to price her structure, and so she's been able to continue to operate through these last couple of years, even during these difficult times, because she understands what it takes to be able to accept an order and to be able to achieve the kind of profit that she needs to be successful. We have also seen some of the women who are in the health services sector grow their businesses. In particular, we have someone in the Bronx who has a home health aid training program where she's now training up to 1,000 women each every couple of months. So that's a great growth from where she started, where she was only training a couple of hundred women at the beginning of the relationship. We have women who started working on providing cosmetology services, hair cutting services from a home-based situation, and now have more than one salon. So we see women in lots of different businesses, and they generally will work with us for a couple of years so that they can grow the business, because it takes a while for them to develop the skills that they need to in order to actually take the business to the next level.
Very nice, very nice. And let's talk about the future. Let's talk about 2011, Maria, with your vision for the Women's Ventures Fund. What is on the docket for 2011 in regards to the growth of the Women's Ventures Fund?
Well, I think you'll see that in addition to offering our traditional training courses, we're going to be looking to assist women with more loans. So we are looking to grow our loan program and to make sure that it's targeted to women who are in business and are having a difficult time accessing capital from banks. We also have the beginnings of a procurement program, which we launched about 2 years ago, and we're looking to take that a little bit further down the line. So we will be looking to connect women with corporate buyers or, in some instances, government buyers to facilitate the process of them understanding how to successfully bid and to be considered for bids when it's appropriate for a particular product or service that they make.
And as I recall, it wasn't this past summer, but a year ago, you had an event where I think Macy's was a major sponsor, and you had some folks that were able to showcase their various different services to Macy's.
Correct. We had a conference in Newark, New Jersey, on procurement in particular, and we had several corporations, including Macy's, and we had several area hospitals who purchased a lot of services on a smaller scale so that they were perfect for the clients that we were working with then. And through a series of interviews that we set up to occur during the day, we were able to identify which of those clients were really ready for a contract from one or another of those corporations that were attending. And we were able to help more than a dozen women actually land a contract, and another 10% or so understand how to get into the process of being considered for a contract down the line.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
And I think that that's one of the areas where we know that women are still relatively weak. The research shows that on the federal government level, less than 4% of all contracts go to women. And when you look at New York State, I believe it's even less than 1% of contracts go to minority women. So this is an area where growth would be a significant development that would really help these communities and women-owned firms in particular.
Absolutely. And Maria, do you have plans to make the Women's Ventures Fund a national organization?
I think that we are looking at how we might do that. Certainly, the economy has changed, and our original plans need to be revised. So we're taking a close look at what we originally thought would be a path for us to grow and looking to see how we should revise that to reflect this new economic reality that we are now living with and that's expected to continue for another couple of years so that we can develop a plan that will be sustainable even in this environment.
You know, with all the articles that we've seen in the press regarding us women being very successful in business and starting new entrepreneurial careers with the success of micro-lending, I would think that the banks would be clamoring, looking for women to invest in. Do you find that to be true, or you find that there's more lip service to that versus folks actually doing it?
Yeah, I actually think it's less true now than it was in 2008. I think with all the mergers that have happened and the financial the collapse of the financial services sector, banks in particular, we find that there's less investment in small businesses at any level, and there's less of an interest by any of the major banks in minority or low and moderate income. So it's actually more difficult to access capital from banking institutions than it had been in the past. So that's why organizations like mine or community banks and credit unions are even more important and more critical for small businesses, because they are, in fact, becoming the only organizations that businesses can turn to for financial support.
You know, we really need to really expose this problem. Everyone is talking about it, but we need to start to write about it in the op-ed opinion pieces because, you know, we know that entrepreneurs drive this economy, and we know based upon your statistics that you've shown time and time again that women are really the predominant force that are starting these new careers. We really need to get the message out to the banks that they really need to do this, and maybe get our congressmen to pressure them to really do what's in the best interest of the country, and that is to invest in businesses started by women.
Well, that would certainly be helpful, and certainly if congressional members would use their power to look at what's happening in the area of the Community Reinvestment Act and looking to see how throughout all of this financial reorganization that we hear about, how that's been diluted, that would be a tremendous assistance to organizations like ours, as well as communities that have traditionally been able to access at least some level of credit through banks because of the CRA requirements of the past.
And maybe there's something that we can appeal to our Senator Senator Schumann, because he seems like he's a man of action. And if there's bureaucracy or red tape in the small business small business association, maybe he can open up some doors for us.
Could be. We can certainly try and see what happens.
we could reach out to Senator Schumann. And let's talk about New Jersey. At one point, I know that the Women's Ventures Fund had its eyes on expanding into New Jersey. Mm-hmm. But with the situation in the economy, things have slowed down. But there is still a great interest to invest in New Jersey, correct?
Absolutely. And we're still getting clients who are coming to us and taking our programs in New York. So they will come from as far as South Jersey to training programs here in New York City. And as we are able to rebuild, we expect that we'll start taking our programs back out to New Jersey. But for now, all of our classes are being held in New York, and the women who we have relationships with or who are calling our office and are in New Jersey are willing to come to our offices in New York to receive training and counseling and to be considered for our loans.
Again, I'd like to stress to our listening audience that Maria Otero, the founder and president of the Women's Ventures Fund, they've been in existence over 10 years, and they have trained over 14,000 women. And I would encourage everyone to go to your website. And your website is, Maria?
Women'sVentureFund.org.
And there's many ways that you can participate. You can volunteer. You can donate. If you have someone that you feel is worthy of being honored at the Highest Leaf Awards, which is their annual luncheon, which is held in May or June, please contact Maria Otero, as well as if you have someone who is a high-level executive that has done outstanding things in the world of business and you feel that they should be recognized. Again, they have a gala that's held in September of every year, September, October. And Maria, next year, is it going to be September again, or will it be October?
It will be October. The target date is October 24th, I believe.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You know, Maria, we have a couple minutes left, and I'd like to give you an opportunity to share your thoughts with our audience about the Women's Ventures Fund in regards to what it means to you and what you want it to mean to everyone else.
Well, I think that when I first set about talking about creating such an organization, I felt that it was important that there be a place where women who were trying to understand what it took to be successful as an entrepreneur could turn to for information and resources. So I'm glad that the Women's Venture Fund has been able to fill that gap, and we continue to be the place for women to come to just get basic information or to get real support, so that if they are already in business and are really troubled by the situation that they are currently facing, they know that they will have an ear and that we will try to see if there's some way that we can assist them to find a resolution to their issues. So many women are starting businesses for the first time and they don't have all of the experience or access to people with a lot of experience running successful businesses. So it's important that they start networking early, that they start connecting with organizations like ours early so that they can really get involved in understanding how entrepreneurs think, how they evaluate business opportunities, and to have people that they can call upon so that when they're faced with a challenge that they have some people who they can call upon to help them think through their problem.
Wow, that is really, really excellent. Well, Maria, believe it or not, we are out of time, and I want to thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you promoting the organization to your audience and letting them know that if they're interested in growing a business, that they should give us a call.
Well, there you have it. We are here with Maria Otero, the founder and president of the Women's Ventures Fund based out of New York. This is Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM. And for my friends abroad streaming on the net at WSOU.net, remember, leadership begins with you. Have a great weekend.